and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church! How are you feeling this morning? Are you ready to praise God with us? Hallelujah! I want everybody in the house to go ahead and stand up. I am so excited. Do you know what Sunday it is? Baptism Sunday, yes! Are you ready to see some people get set free this morning? Hallelujah! In case you don't know what Baptism Sunday is, Baptism Sunday is when people get in this water with an increased expectation to see God move in their life, to see chains broken, to see sin completely surrendered up here at the altar, to see God move in an amazing way. Do you have that expectation with me this morning? Hallelujah! I just want everybody to go ahead and get your hands up and pray this with me. Say, Father, we expect you to move. Father, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, move in me this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, clap with me a little bit. What can wash away my sin? You say,
nothing but the blood.
Power in the blood, come on, sing it out, of the Lamb.
the precious blood.
Come on, stir up your faith. Sing, there is power.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power,
power, wonder working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Come on, sing this out with me.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Come on, sing it.
Victory today is mine.
Come on.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Sing victory.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
It's mine. Today is mine.
Come on, sing, joy is mine.
Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine.
Come on, speak it out.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Sing, there is power.
There is
power, power.
Wonder-working power
in the blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Sing, there is power.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Yeah, that's it. Sing it out.
The Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Sing, oh precious.
And oh precious is that flow that nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Everybody sing, oh,
oh, precious
is the flow
that makes me white as snow.
Oh,
fountain, sing nothing,
nothing but the blood.
Sing nothing,
nothing but the blood.
Sing nothing, come on, clap.
Nothing but the blood,
nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood,
nothing
of Jesus,
of Jesus.
Sing, healing is mine,
healing is mine, healing is mine, healing today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, victory today is mine.
Sing, healing is mine,
healing is mine. Healing today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Healing today is mine.
Sing,
oh, precious
is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
One more time, sing,
oh, precious
is that flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, I'm still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so.
Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Cry, Jesus. The blood that she shed, still it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power. Blood still, it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still, it flows from your throne. Sing, Jesus. Some still don't know. The blood that you shed, still it flows. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood, it will never lose
its power,
power. Your blood will never.
Power.
Just give him all the praise you can right now. Hallelujah. Come on, start thanking Jesus for his blood, for his miracle working blood, for his sin covering blood. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Our borrowed righteousness is from Christ. Amen. Come on, give me 30 seconds of the greatest shout you can give. the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
There is no one else. your holy name. Lift your hands. You deserve the glory and all the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. Yes, Lord, there is no one else like you. No one on this earth, Jesus. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Nobody, nobody else, Lord. There is no else like you. Yeah.
You are great.
You're so great, Lord.
You do miracles so great.
There is
no one else like you.
Nobody else. There is no one. Come on, one more time. Let's sing it. For you.
What he's done, but for who he is. He loves you unconditionally.
There is no one else like you.
For you are great.
You do miracles so great.
There is no one else like you.
Finances, you need God to show up. What's happened is you've given up. See, when you've given up on your miracle, there's no way that God can perform. Because remember, preaching last week, the key to your next level is your faith. That means you trust God, that if he says he's able to do it, he's able to perform. Now, it's not that you don't believe that God's not able, but you don't believe that you're worthy to receive it. And this morning, I just want you to say this right out loud with me. I thank God. I'm his favorite child. And if I know how to give good gifts, my Father knows how to give better. I lay hold of my covenant right for a miracle in my life. In the name of Jesus, I command any satanic assignment to be canceled from this moment on. In Jesus' name. And I declare my body must come in alignment with the Word of God. I command my finances to come in alignment with the Word of God. And I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in Jesus' name. Sing it now.
You are great.
Tell him.
You do miracles so
believing, you've been believing, you've been believing, some of you for years, and you're saying, I don't know, maybe it's just not what God wants for me. And I want you to never hear that lie in your head again. Do you hear me? When you give up in faith, you know, this is a struggle for people because time is one of the greatest thieves of our lives. You know, if you look at the woman, look at Jairus. Jairus' daughter was sick to the place that she was dying. And he decided to go to Jesus. He went to Jesus. While he was with Jesus, his daughter died. His servants came and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus looked and said, listen, don't be afraid. Only believe. Now, what was he telling him to believe? Well, Jairus, before the journey even began, Jairus said, if you come lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be made whole. You see, there are times that timetable, from the moment that you make your declaration to the moment that you see your manifestation, in that time is when many people abandon their miracle. You can literally be on the threshold of reception and walk away right at the threshold. So, Pastor, when do we give up? When you're dead. And then what's really cool, like Jesus walked up to the city of Nain. And as he's walking up to the city of Nain, they're having a funeral. And the mother is weeping as her son is being buried. She had already buried her son. Now she's getting ready to bury her son. She already buried her husband. Now she's getting ready to bury her son. And Jesus looked and felt compassion towards her and went over and raised up her son from the dead. When you give up, baby, only when you're dead. When you stop believing, only when you're dead. And then after you're dead, you can still do it. You see, we've got to start believing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Our next level is not living where we are in the flesh right now and accepting everything that comes down our trail. It's not saying, oh God, I guess this is just the way it is. I made my bed, I got to lay in it. No. God can raise the bed. God can heal the dead. There's nothing impossible for God. Do you actually believe that? Because we make God almost the same size of us as a man. God's not a man. God is the King. He is the Creator. He is the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. And if we really believe that how gigantic He actually is, and we actually trust how massive He actually is, then struggling in faith is challenging. It's difficult to struggle when you see how big He is. Constantly in my prayer room, I'm praying this. You ready? God, I see you too small. Now listen, I've seen every kind of miracle there is. I've seen limbs grow. I had a lady, there was a lady, she was born with a birth defect. Her arm stopped at her elbow. She had a little hand on the end of her elbow. And we watched God grow that out 3 or 4 inches. I've seen crossed eyes open. I've seen blind eyes open. A man with a plate in his head didn't even have anything in his ear, any junk in there, and God gave him the ability to hear. I've seen tumors disappear in the brain that when they went back to the doctor, all confirmed. I've watched people with multiple sclerosis heal. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And this is what I still pray. God, I see you too small. Because when we see Him as He is, then the struggles that we usually handle on this earth that are so minute and so small, but to us they're huge. When we compare our problems with the size of our God is great. He does miracles great. There's nothing that He can't do. Ready? If you believe. There's the key. Faith is the key to your next level. If you believe, you will receive. But if you doubt, it's all going to be gone out. Oh, how do we know that? If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. God wants to bless you. Stop equating yourself out of your miracle. Because let me tell you, He will do it. It might take a little bit of time. It was Abram. He waited 20 years for the promise. I don't want to wait 20 years. Well, no one wants to wait 20 years. But he waited, and he was faithful,
and God fulfilled his promise. Know this. Don't you ever give up on your faith. Don't you ever just accept what is not from God. Because you don't have to. You don't have to. If you want to, well, go ahead. You enjoy it. But I'd rather have the blessings of God that'll overtake me. Amen. I want God's best for my life, not survival for my life. And that's a choice. So I challenge you today. I don't know what you need. I don't know where you're believing. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know how big it is. Some of you might be massive. You might have just got a death declaration from the doctors. I don't care what it is. This I know, that God is the great physician. Amen. That if you're dealing with financial problems, go fishing. You catch your money in the fish's mouth. Amen. Listen, there's nothing God can't do. Stop making him so small. He's big. He's bigger than you. Amen. We all know this with our kids. If our kid was sick, we're not going to sit there and go, well, I hope it works. You would do anything you could to make your kid healthy. Anything. When Pastor Cody came out with a pneumothorax. That means he blew his lung on the way out. Rhonda wasn't allowed to hold him. They shipped him right into the ICU. He was a bluish color. They were talking about helicoptering him down to Arnett. We were up in Ithaca. And as I'm watching that child as the father, I felt overwhelmingly helpless. There was nothing I could do. But you know something? I serve a God where there's everything he can do. And if I could have done it right there, I would have. But God is able to do what you need. He's able to do it and willing to do it. You've got to get it in your spirit. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you financially. God wants to do that. That's his want. So if he's able and he wants to, where's the stop? I know I give this example. I'm babbling a little bit. That's all right. Some of you need this. One day when the children were small, Cody and Chad were probably 5 and 4 years old. We lived in a split-level home. And one day I was going to the covered bridge market up in Newfield. And as I'm going down the stairs, they both came to the top of the stairs and said, "We want a lollipop with gum inside." Kids are specific, aren't they? "I want a lollipop with gum inside." I said, "Okay, no problem." I was going to the covered bridge, went to the covered bridge, got whatever we needed, and bought 2 lollipops with gum inside. When I came home, I opened the front door. My kids could care less about the groceries, but they were at the top of the stairs like this. They didn't ask. They expected it. Why? Because I said I would do it. They didn't have to ask again. They only asked once. But their expectation was, "Excuse me." Now, they said thank you because I trained them that way. Amen. But they weren't begging. "Oh, please, Daddy, please. Did you bring me our lollipops?" No. They knew if they asked, I would do it. How much more your Heavenly Father will bless you. Oh, come on. Now, we made God something he is not. We've got to get back to the God of the Bible, who is a great God, and he's greatly to be praised. Amen? Was that all right that I babbled a little? Is that all right? Can you go tell 5 people that you love them and thank God that they're in the house of the Lord? Now, listen, natural body says go sit down. Don't sit down. Go find somebody and introduce yourself and say, "Good morning, my name is. I thank God that I know Jesus."
family.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Apparently, it's a fantastic day in the house of God this morning, right? Turn to somebody next to you and say, good morning. Hallelujah. God is so good. I love that we serve a God that desires to interact with us personally and intimately, corporately. He's alive in the house of God and in our lives this morning. Amen. Amen. We would like to welcome our live stream family. We love you and are so excited that you're participating with us and all that the kingdom of God is doing in this house. We would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you're a guest, please raise your hand. We have a gift for you. One of our guest hosts will come around and bring you a package. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand. Also, directly after service on this side of the building, we will have a guest reception that we would love to invite you to. Our pastors and some of our staff are in there with refreshments, some great coffee, and some treats. But our heart's desire is really to get to know you. We love to build relationships in the house of God. And this really is the plan of God for the body of Christ, that we would build and cultivate relationships. Speaking of that, how many of you are involved in a group? Raise your hand if you're involved in a group. Look around the room. If you are not in a group, then you are now in the minority. Hallelujah. So you want to get involved with a group. We have so many fabulous groups of people to get together with. If you love food, how many of you groups have good food at your group? That's right. Great fellowship, great friendships, and God is all about those relationships. That's the body of Christ. Remember, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we need to get together with one another and sharpen each other's faith. So get involved with a group. We would like to remind you that next Sunday is one service. Turn to someone next to you and say, one service. Yes, 10 a.m. is one service next Sunday. We have a guest speaker, Pastor Rick Shelton. He is actually Joyce Meyer's pastor. So we're honored to have him in the house of God. Anytime you have an opportunity to participate or draw from the anointing of someone who is a giant in the kingdom, you want to take advantage of that opportunity.
Hold on, I just got to say this. Remember, this is Joyce Meyer's pastor. So you want to invite your friends. That's your niche, to invite your friends. Joyce Meyer's pastor is going to be here next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I want to fill this house. I want to be like Easter. We have to go add more chairs because we're only doing how many services? When is it? Make sure. Don't forget.
Amen. We also would like to tell you about the women's conference that is coming up March 1st. Come on, ladies. March 1st and 2nd, you want to make sure that you register. The theme of the conference is there's no place to go but up. Can we hear a hallelujah? Now listen, men, you need to make a way for your wives to be able to come to this conference. There is nothing like the refreshing of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we come together. So make sure that you make a way for your wife to come to that. You will thank yourself, truly. So ladies, get registered. There will be giveaways and prizes and great fellowship. And we do not want you to miss out on the word and the power that's going to be released at this conference on March 1st and 2nd. I would like to invite up Pastor Andrea to bless us with the tithes and the offerings.
Amen. HT, it's so good to look out and see everybody.
You are a blessed people. Do you realize that? Look at your neighbor on the left and the right and say, you are a blessed person of God. You are blessed. Amen? You are a blessed person of God. I'm so excited today because how many folks were involved in our time of prayer and fasting in January? Amen? Had a lot of people who were involved. And do you know we have seen some supernatural blessings of God because he's already spoken that it's a new day, a new season, and the year of acceleration, right? The next level. Amen? And so we are experiencing that next level. How many folks were involved in praying 6:15 a.m.? On the prayer line. How many folks are seeing it? Amen. We are also seeing numbers like 150 people are on the prayer line and 120 people. Let's give God praise and glory for that. Amen. So not only are we a people who are decreeing and declaring the word of God, we are living the word of God. Amen? We are obedient to the word of God. Because, you know, the Lord said in increased obedience does what? Yields accelerated harvest, right? Amen. So today, we're going to just talk a little bit about our God and increased obedience to him. Would you agree with me that God is a giver? Amen. Tell your neighbor on the left and the right just a couple of things that God gave you. Amen. Gave me life this morning. Breath. Amen. Blessed us, some of you, with jobs and families and cars and houses. Amen. You're not very loud this morning, HT. We have a great God, and he is a giver, right? Would you agree with me whether or not God is one who loves you? Does he love you? Amen. So we have okay, that's a low. I mean, I only heard a couple who were shouting out. Do you think that God loves you? Amen. I know that he loves you. And do you know what? He's a giver. And because we're made in his image, he has called us to be givers too. Amen. It says in the word of God, and I just want to share with you a little bit about what it says in the word, because the word of God is what we believe. The word of God is what we live. The word of God is what gives us life. The word of God doesn't return void. It accomplishes that what it's sent out to accomplish. So when we speak the word of God, it doesn't return void. It goes out and it grabs that thing, amen, that we're believing for, that we have faith for. We heard Pastor talk about faith, how important it is to have faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. When we come to him, we have to first believe that he's God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you diligently seek him in prayer, he will reward your prayers, right? If you diligently seek him, amen, by living a healthy lifestyle, he's going to reward and restore your health, right? If you diligently seek him by giving, he's going to then do what? He's going to turn back around and give to you, because that's the way he is. Amen? So it's interesting. In the word of God, it says in Luke 6:38, I believe the word of God. Do you? It's infallible. It cannot be debated. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. I believe the word of God. It says in Luke 6:38, it says that if we give, it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure that you give, it will be measured to you. Amen? That's what the word of God says. It also says, because I just love reading it in all these different translations, because then it gets deep. It gets, good. The New American Standard Bible says, given, it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Just to share with you, in the old days, you know, they would measure out grain and they would measure out, you know, different materials as they would go into the marketplace to exchange. And I'm a marketplace apostle. So when you look at Psalms, when you look at 6:38, pressed down, shaken together means like it was a generous merchant. And he would give grain. They would exchange it. And so he would put the grain in, fill it up to the top. But then he would press it down. He would push it down more so then he could put a little more grain on it. Amen? And then he would pour some more in the container. And then he would press it down and push it down. And then he could give more. That's the way God is. God is a generous, generous God. He is a generous merchant. He's one that wants to bless you with more and more and more. So it says in the Word of God that the amount that you give will be determined the amount that you will get back. Or the measure that you give will determine the measure that you get back. So if you give love, you're going to get love back. Amen? If you give peace and kindness, you're going to get that back. Amen? Because you're a reflection of God, and what you give, He will reflect back to you. Amen? So today, as we begin to move forward, I want to encourage you to enter in now to this time of giving, if you'll stand to your feet. But I want to encourage you that we're going to enter into the press down, shaken together, running over type of giving. Amen? Because what we give, He will increase it. Because you're moving forward in obedience. And increased obedience yields what? Accelerated harvest. Amen? So as we come forth today, we're going to come believing whatever you have to give. Even if you don't have anything tangibly to give today, ask your neighbor, because your neighbor will bless you, because your neighbor will have extra to give. Amen? We're entering in today. It is a prophetic act of will today. So hold your offerings up to heaven, because there's some in this house who stand in need even of a financial breakthrough. There's some who stand in need of a healing and a restorative type of breakthrough. So God is available. He responds not to our worries. He responds to the Word. So today, as we come to Him, let's get our mindset focused on Him and enter in with this pressed down, shaken together, running over type of mindset as we come forth to give our very best to Him. Father, we thank You today, because we're blessed in the city. We are blessed in the field. We're blessed in our storehouses, right? We are even blessed in our baskets. Amen. The blessings of the Lord will overtake you. Amen. Because you are a child of God. So say it to your neighbor, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on, shake it over. Come on, press down. Shake them together. Amen. Come on, come forward joyously. Amen. Press down. Shake them together. Amen. Increase, increase. Amen. Come forth rejoicing. Press down. Shake it together. Come on. More. Increase. Increase. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. I love singing the blood. Amen. Wow, Curtis, it's so good to see you on the second row. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. What an awesome day. How many of you excited about today? How many excited about the snow coming tonight? Listen, remember, if it's going to be cold, you might as well have snow. Amen? No? It was just a thought. I'm excited about the Word of God today. I know it's going to challenge your life. So let me tell you how it's going to work. This morning, we're going to start a mini-series, like 2 to 3 weeks. And what we're going to do is we're skipping a week because Brother Shelton is here next week. Next week, I'm going to be preaching up in Ithaca while Brother Shelton is preaching down here. So what I'm preaching next week in Ithaca, I'm going to preach to you the week after. So I want to make sure that you're staying with this. You don't want to miss these weeks. There are certain weeks you don't want to miss because they're a key to enabling you to go to your next level. This is the year of... That was so sad. This is the year of... Next level. Turn to your person and say, next person next to you and say, I am going with you without you. The truth is you got to make a decision that if you're going to wait for somebody else to go, you're going to be a long time waiting. You do not go to the next level waiting for somebody else. You go to the next level and you pull them with you. Amen. So last week we started preaching the gospel and teaching you on your next level. A major key to your next level is what? Your faith. That if you don't have faith, you can't go to your next level. Remember, everything we receive from God is by faith. Faith is the key. We walk by and not by, come on now. Every man's been given a measure of faith. The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said to some, O ye of little. Faith. He said to others, O ye of great. Faith. So their faith can be measured and it's dimensional and we can mature it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that God has a process to build our faith. What is faith? Faith is trust. God, I trust that what your Word says is true. And God said very clearly, not one jot or tittle shall pass away before all comes to fruition. That God holds his Word even above his name. You see, if you're religious, then you're coming to church and you're hearing a guy preach and that's nice. But when you understand what this is what is actually happening, while the Word is being preached, faith is being released. While the Word is being preached, the anointing is being released. What's the anointing? The anointing is the supernatural power of God to change us and to heal us, to bring our lives in order. So when you're learning and understanding what's happening when the preaching of the Word is happening, that you cannot just sit there and say, well, that was a good sermon. Boy, that was a good sermon he preached. And you forgot it three minutes out the door. This is where you have to make a decision that I will be a studious individual today to learn the Word because the Word builds my faith. And if faith is the key to my next level, then I have got to grow in faith to go higher than I am right now. This is a challenge because it's easy for people to lose their faith. And you've got to make a determination that you are never going to slide from that mountain. You are never going to slide away. You are only going to press forward. It is a decision in your heart. Challenge. When you're married to somebody or dating somebody or just by yourself, life itself or even the people you are with are easily trying to manipulate you out of your next level because they don't want to grow. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to make a decision. No matter where anybody else is, no matter where anybody else goes, I'm still going. I love my wife, but if she's not going to the next level, then she's hanging out below. Because I'm going. We have a little fight in our house. Who's going to get there first? Oh, great news. My wife just finished her next book. It's off the print, and the new books have been ordered. They'll be here for the first week of March. Be very exciting. I'm almost ready to get saved. She's going to have to lead me to the Lord. If faith is your key to your next level, then fear, controlling fear is the lockbox that will always keep you out. Fear is something that is very powerful in all of our lives. All of us experience fear. But there's a difference between fear and being controlled by fear. And today I want to just start on this. This is why you need to be here the week after Rick Shelton is, because I'm going to finish this out, and you need to know how to control your fear. But today we're going to learn something powerful. This is what we're going to learn. If fear controls you, you will never reach your next level. Turn to someone and say right now, if fear controls you, you will never reach your next level. Fear does one of two things. Fear either pushes you forward or arrests you where you're at. Fear either tames you or you tame fear. This is where each and every one of us are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, what car you drive. It doesn't matter what part of the country you're from or from the world. Every single person deals with fear. And fear is the enemy of your faith. Yet there are elements of fear that are positive because God created them and instilled them in our lives as human beings. So the ability to delineate between positive and negative is a mandatory for us not to be controlled by the power of fear. The Bible makes a declaration very clearly, and it says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn to someone and said, I think you're sound. Now we know if you're married, you just said that to your spouse and you lied. It's amazing to realize that 88% of people have hidden fears. Every one of us in this room have some level of fear. And, you know, we've got to start learning how to deal with fear. Can I tell you how not to deal with fear? Ignoring it. Ignoring your fear never wins. Ignoring your fear never allows you to bring it into submission. When you ignore your fear, you actually subdue your faith. So there's a need for us to be people that are aware. You see, we are trichotomous in making. God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Genesis 1, verse 26. How did God make us? God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he made us spirit, soul, and body. Turn to someone and say, I'm a spirit who lives in a soul who has a body. So listen now, each one of us are made differently. The Bible says when you're not born again, your spirit man is dead. But the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a child of the living God. That the Holy Ghost comes and dwells inside of you, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You go from death to life, darkness to light. You are now alive in Christ and dead to sin. But you also have what's called a soul. Our soul is our intellect, our emotions. That's kind of a dangerous place, isn't it? And this is where we're starting to talk about how to get to your next level and faith being the key to get there. Yet our emotions, when they're governed by our fears, destroy the opportunity for us to go to where we need to acquire. We need to learn how to control our fear and bring it into subjection in the name of Jesus. And then learn the skills. How, listen now, God can deliver you from fear. But if you don't know how to stay out of fear, you're going to keep going back. And the goal and the design of what we're going to be preaching here in the next few weeks, because you got to have faith to go to the next level. So that means you got to understand fear and be willing to captivate it, destroy it, and control it so that it does not own you. Everybody in this room deals with some level of fear in some capacity. Now, again, like I said, God made us fearfully and wonderfully. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And in that, fear plays a part of our life. And physiologically, God created us to have urges, or I will say surges of fear. It's very interesting when you start studying physiologically or, you know, scientifically how it works. We have what's called an amygdala gland in our body, in our brain. And what happens is the moment fear comes into our life, it sends a message to our adrenal gland. Our adrenal gland then sends a surge of adrenaline to different parts of our body to be able to overcome or to deal with the fear that's in front of us. They did this study. It was really neat. So if somebody was at war and the something happened that brought fear, that adrenaline rush would go where? The adrenaline would be ushered to their hands. Isn't that interesting? So that they could fight or grab a gun or grab something to where they could protect themselves. So what happens is all of a sudden the amygdala gland sends a message to the adrenal gland. There's somebody in my house. Anybody ever had somebody break in your house? I have. It's a very unnerving sensation. And all of a sudden you're in bed at 5 a.m. and they're running around your basement. All of a sudden, there was a rush of adrenaline, and I grabbed my Ithaca Model 37 pump shotgun, And I looked at my dog and I said, We went to the top of the stairs and I said, I'm sending the dog down first. What he doesn't take care of, you will lose your head. Click, click. They left quickly. But let me tell you, you're shaken after that. Well, that's the adrenaline rush. You see, fear, God created it to where you and I will use it to accomplish something that's necessary. You've heard of people that have lifted cars off of individuals. You've heard of people being able to do the unnatural strength. And why is that? Because God created something called the fear through our amygdala gland that goes to and releases the adrenaline from our adrenal gland, therefore sending power to another portion of the body. How many of you have run faster than you'd ever run before when a dog was chasing you? That's because you had an adrenaline rush and the adrenal gland said, send it to the legs, send it to the legs, send it to the legs. It's powerful when you realize how God created us. So fear is not an evil thing, but controlling fear is an evil thing. Now, we're dealing with this all over the nation now, more than we've ever dealt with before, as we're seeing more people on antidepressant drugs than at ever and any time of history in our life. More people having anxiety attacks. More people literally being controlled by their fears and their phobias than at any other time of history. And I'm not talking outside of the church. I'm talking inside of the church. And what that is showing is that there's a lack of control. Yes, God gave us fear to stimulate movement in a direction of safety, but fear has never been brought into our life to control us and subdue us. I'll take two amens. I'll even take three if someone will give them to me. Fear that destroys your faith is when you allow it to arrest you and control you. Now, what's interesting is, what's this other type? Well, it goes like this. I got to find it to make sure I say it right. There we go. It's called the prefrontal cortex. Whew, I pulled it out. Come on now. The bad type of fear is this, is when you get that kind of rush, but then you'll start allowing it to control you. What happens is all of a sudden that prefrontal cortex sends a message down to the adrenal gland, and now a release of a different kind of chemical is going. It's not adrenaline. It's called cortisol. And what that is it calms you to the place to where now depression can slip in. Now anxiety can slip in. Now you're a person that is not motivated forward, but it's now retraction and fear. Yes, Lord. So here we are. Isn't this cool? I love studying how God created us. But I'm watching how so many believers, God is calling us to live by faith. God is calling us to step out in faith. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. God said, I'm going to call those things which are not as though they already are. Faith is declaring that, listen, it's not safe. Can you turn to someone and say, faith is not safe? Come on, tell somebody else, faith is not safe. And what happens is that when fear arrests us, it's because we're giving fear more focus than our faith. We're giving fear more focus than our faith. And God has called us to live by faith, not by fear. Now, again, it's not that that is not going to come. It's not that an adrenaline rush is not going to be released. But you and I don't have to allow the cortisol to be released in our life. And God's saying, listen, you've got to control that. The only way for cortisol to come in our life, the way with depression and anxiety and all these other bad things come in, is when you and I start focusing more on that fear than we do in moving forward. I'm sorry, this is doctor stuff. It's how it works. It's science. We've all sat back and said, well, you know, depression runs in my family. No, cortisol doesn't have to run in your family. I mean, you don't have to inject it in your life. It's a choice to allow fear to control you. The Bible says this very clearly. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, it is unhealthy fear that will steal your faith. So having that fear rush is the ability for you and I to accomplish things. Whether it's fight, flight, or freeze, sometimes it's smart to freeze. Amen. And that's movement forward, because you're telling your body, don't move, don't move, don't move, because you want a flight. But the unhealthy fear is when you allow it now to control the motions of your life. And because faith makes no sense. Faith is not in our personal control. Faith demands stepping out in something that you are not able to do yourself. Faith is trusting a God who said, I'm able and confident that I can accomplish that in your life. The challenge is arresting that thought process that says to us, I've got to be in control, or I'm not sure what will happen. I want you to know this, that you can trust your God. He is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. This is where that relationship, I want to remind you what the summit is. The summit is not getting to heaven. The summit is knowing God. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. Knowing God is everything, because the more you know him, the larger he becomes. The more you know him, the more you trust him. The more you know him, the more you walk by faith and not by sight. God wants a people filled with faith, not filled with fear, not being controlled by what's around you, but controlling what's around you by declaring those things which are not and saying, God, change that right now. God is able to do that. What happens is we've gone from being a supernatural church to a natural church. We've gone from being a church of faith to a church of fear. And if we don't make these changes, then what's going to happen as these days are coming close to the trumpet of God sounding, or when trial and tribulation comes in your life, the only thing you have to rely upon is sliding back into the fear realm, to where now you're being controlled by this chemical release called cortisol, and now you start getting depressed. They did a study of people that were over 100 years old. They brought them into a room. And it was a very interesting study, because they invited them to come, and they came, and they were trying to find out what were the parallels in all their lives that enabled them to live that length of life. And what they found is there was only one thing that they had in common. Some of them drank, some of them smoked. Some of them lived pretty foul lives. Others were Christians and lived godly lives. And some of them, you know, ate eggs and bacon every morning. And some of them ate fruit and toast and, you know, the vegan stuff. They found, I tried that. It's not good for you. And so it was interesting when they did the study. This is what they actually found. The only thing they actually had in common was that they never allowed themselves to stay low. They made themselves get up and keep moving. They never allowed their defeat, they never allowed their problem to overwhelm them with fear. They looked and they said, well, I learned something, now I'm moving forward. You see, you and I, whether you're born again or not born again, if you learn this, it's going to bring great satisfaction to your life. It's going to bring you to a place of being able to accomplish almost anything in your life, because you will allow no fear to control your life. You'll allow no fear to manifest itself to where now you are being apprehended instead of apprehending. You've got to keep moving forward. Say amen. Amen. This is the year of... Come on now, this is the year of... You'll never go to your next level if you won't leave the one you're at. And most people will never leave the one they're at because of a fear of the future. This is real. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Fears come in our life from our past. I struggle with relationships sometimes. Why is that? Well, because I've dealt with abandonment and I've dealt with rejection multiple times in my life. From my friends, my two best friends growing up, both abandoned and both rejected me. To my dad when I was 15 years old. To different relationships that I was in. I want you to realize pastoring is one of the worst jobs in the world if you're having a problem in this world, in this realm. Because rejection is normal. It's not abnormal. And what I've had to learn is, listen, when those emotions run in, where you want to just retract, you want to just go into protective mode, you want to have this fear control you, you've got to make a decision that the cycle of life is life, and you're never going to change it. And you're either going to stay on the cycle of life, or you're going to go into a depression, you're going to go into retraction, you're going to go into a place where you're never going to move forward and reach your next level. And listen, I've made a decision. I don't care who it is. I am not stopping. I had to make that decision in my own life that fear is not going to control my life. Fear is not going to control my life. My past experiences are not going to control my future. I refuse. People have said to me, well, you know, church is the same. You know, I had a bad experience when I was 3 and a half. I said, you're 53 and a half now. What's your problem? Well, you know, I had a bad experience. No. If you're allowing all of the past fears to control your future, you'll never have a future. Prison is far more than just from behind bars. Prison is a person who's not willing to move forward in their life and do what God's will is for their heart. Well, why is that? Because then they have to remain in the swill of their old and life and be controlled by their fears. You can't allow your past to control you. They were real experiences. They were bad experiences. It brought fear in your life. But you cannot allow that fear to own your future. You've got to be willing to love. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it is inevitable. You will be hurt. And every time you get hurt, you've got to forgive again, or you cannot love again. That is your life. Well, I'm just not letting anybody that close. Well, that's stupid. Because if you never let anybody that close again, you're being controlled by the past of your last situation. It is always a gamble to love. Can I hear an amen or am I? It is always a gamble when you've been abused. There are people that are living in fear of abuse. It's not even that you're afraid you're going to be abused again, but those emotions when they rise because either you see something on television or have a situation around you, now those same emotions are rising, that fear rises back up in you, which shows this. When the fear rises up and owns you again, it means you never dealt with it in the first place. Amen or am I? Impartation. Some of you are afraid of snakes, not because you're afraid of snakes, but because your mama was afraid of snakes. Some of you got arachnophobia. Why? Not because a spider ever even bit you. Not that you don't realize that you swallow, what, 2 a year in your sleep. So now you, people. I remember my son Chad was afraid of spiders for a bit, so I found a dead spider in the basement. You know, the ones that, like, they're petrified, they look real. And I took and put it on his pillow. It was the best. All of a sudden, we're downstairs in the living room, and I hear, ah! This big smile came on my face now. We have a friend of ours. His name is Jonathan Larkey. He's a real estate agent locally. And Jonathan grew up in our house. And one day I called him and I said, I need help in the basement. And Jonathan's shoulders are about 56 or 58. He's a monster guy. He used to lift when he was a kid, just huge. And, you know, I always chuckle because I know he's afraid of spiders. So one day I said to him, I says, I just need some help in the basement, man. Do you mind help? Oh, no, I'll be right there. He came over. We go down into the lower parts of what we call the potato cellar. We're down in the potato cellar. And I'm way in the back corner, and I said, oh, by the way, I flicked the light on. I said, don't look up. He looked up, and he, listen, a big grown man with monster shoulders screaming like a little girl is nothing better. Some of us have impartation because of our parents. We have the fear because of it's been given to us. Listen, my children have a fear of bathrooms and germs. Why? My wife, she's a freak. She touches nothing with her hands. Everything's with her foot. She can flush with her foot, put the stool up with her foot. You know, she never touches anything that's white porcelain. I remember the children going into the bathroom as a child. Don't touch anything. We've created fears in our children's lives. Some of you had such bad relationships in the past, you've now made your children afraid of having a relationship in their future. The next one is this: you're just afraid of the future itself. Every time it's ready to step forward, but what if I fail? Listen, the fear of failure is not something that you want to ever live. You want to be able to have the fear of getting back up. Come on now, I've got to get back up. Failure's not falling. Failure's not getting back up. Find me something that's not, find me an individual that's not willing to fall, and I'll find you an individual that's captivated by fear. You've got to be willing to make mistakes. You've got to be willing to walk by faith. You've got to be willing to step out there on nothing to land on something. You've got to be willing to say, listen, it doesn't make sense, but I know God is speaking to my heart. You've got to be willing to do these things. If you're not willing, then you're always going to stay at your last level because you're afraid of what will happen in your next level. Listen, you'll never know what will happen in your next level if you never even see it. I would rather fall two levels by reaching up to the next one than living at the third one down, never knowing what was available to me. By the way, you're only one thought away from being a millionaire. Say it one more time. What? You're only one thought away of being a millionaire. Well, how is that possible, Pastor? How? You want to know the place that's filled with more dreams and more visions than any other place on this planet? The graveyard. Because people die with their thoughts. People die with the next level waiting to be released. But they're afraid to step out because they're afraid of failure. You've got to make a determination. My future is mine. Listen, Kim, you are an amazing writer. Listen, when her book comes out, is it out yet? When Kim's book comes out, you need to get her book. It just, wow. We read it when we're driving. And I make my wife read it to me. And I'm like, because it is so amazing. But you know something? There are some of you who've had books in your life, in your heart for years, but you're always afraid. Well, what if no one ever reads it? Who cares? You did what you were supposed to do. You stepped out in your next level. My wife said she would never write a book. Now she's on her fourth book. Why is that? Because, listen, it had to happen. It had to happen. Come on, Teresa. You never thought you'd ever write a book. And now you have children's books that you've written and they've been published. Come on now. Why? Because somebody said, it doesn't matter if anybody likes it. It doesn't matter if it's accepted. I'm going to the next level. You've got to make a decision that fear will never control your life, and you're willing to step out on nothing to land on something. If you're going to be a person that is going to accomplish God's vision for your life on this planet, your very purpose, you have got to be an individual who is never captivated by fear. I can't hear you say amen or oh my. I just got great anticipation for you as an individual. Fear dislodges your faith and your trust in God. And you can never allow it. Now let me tell you, it's not that it doesn't pop up. Just because you have a bird fly around your head doesn't mean you have to let him nest in your hair. So I already confessed one of my great fears is rejection. One of my great fears has always been abandonment. So I deal with that on a constant basis. I remember the very first time someone left our church in Newfield. Oh my goodness, I was a mess. I actually went into a depression. I struggled. They didn't leave because of me. They left because they were ornery. I mean, I could have coughed and they'd have been mad and left. But you see, I took it personal and I allowed that emotion that I thought I had owned to rise back up. Your greatest fear will always be like a demon sitting in the corner waiting for you to drop your guard. You have to be aware of your fears that are going to release not the good chemical, but the bad chemical that will bring you into a depression and a retraction. You've got to be aware of who you are. Self-awareness is everything. And Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen for the Holy Spirit? God gave us the Holy Spirit to make ourselves aware of where we need to change and when we need to deal with issues. And this is how God works in our life. We've got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and to uproot these fears in our life so that it will not hold us back from our next level. And let me tell you, this is something that is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But I will tell you this. People that constantly live in a place where cortisol is being released in their bodies, it is simply because they've never identified their fear. Therefore, they're being controlled by it. Therefore, they will never move forward. We've got to make decisions in our life. You can blame everybody you want in the world. You can blame your mama. You can blame your daddy. You can blame your environment you grew up in. Well, you don't know how bad my family was. Listen now, it doesn't really matter how bad your family was. You can't change that, but you can change you. You can't change the facts, but you can definitely change the future by faith. You don't have to be controlled. You can be controlling in that area by walking by faith. But you have to make the decision. And this morning, that really is the crossroads. Some of you are afraid to follow Jesus. I heard you. It's so funny. Sometimes I just hear what somebody says. There's some people in the room, you're afraid to follow Jesus because you're afraid you're going to have to give up too much. And God is saying, what? He wants you to hear it right now. Someone planted that in you when you were a teenager. They told you that if you keep going to that, you're not going to ever have fun. You're going to have to give up all this stuff. But you know what? You've lived that stuff, and you've already proven to yourself it don't work. That's why you're sitting here this morning. But you're still allowing the fear of giving up to step in faith to trust God, who will bless you abundantly above. I don't know where you are in your walk with Jesus, but I know this. Every one of us are dealing with fear in some level. You've got to ask yourself an honest question, because if you don't ask it, nobody else is. Let's be straight. No one else is going to know. Some of us hide our fears so well. Will I allow this to control me and own me? Or will I choose to be more than an overcomer through Jesus Christ? And bring my soul into subjection to where I can live for Christ and live not only with joy, but also with happiness. See, you can be happy but not have joy. But as long as you got joy, you can still be happy. So some of you have held yourself back from God's greatest gifts simply because of fear. I would not be a pastor today if I allowed fear, my fear, the one that attacks me the most, to control my life. I wouldn't be here. I'd be in a safe job where it didn't matter what anybody said or did. But what God has called me to is a place of rejection. I was talking to him this morning and I said, you know what's really cool? I'm in great company. Your brothers and sisters rejected you, Jesus. Your countrymen rejected you. The very nation rejected you. And on the cross, the Father turned from you. All your disciples in the garden walked away. And I came to a conclusion that if Jesus had allowed his fear, he would never have gone to the cross, which would have eliminated us from our next level. My question is this. Who besides yourself, if you allow that fear to continue to control you, is not going to reach their next level? Whether we realize it or not, we're never on an island to ourselves. And that somebody needs our faith to propel them forward to their next level of success. Amen. So what's your fear? Oh, I'm not talking about the normal amygdala fear that sends that rush to the adrenal gland, message to the adrenal gland, and adrenaline is released. No, no, I'm not talking that one. I'm talking, what is your cortisol? What is that fear? And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit today to start dealing with you at that level. Listen, I didn't say it was going to be comfortable. I didn't say, yay! It's not comfortable. Because you got to constantly ask yourself, am I being owned or am I owning? What is that fear? I know people that are afraid. Well, if you're a controlling spouse, the reason you're a controlling spouse is because you're afraid they're going to leave you. Usually, I can't get into it. I don't have time. I'm late. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning because I believe that this is a pinnacle change for some people in this room. I believe for some of you in this room, God is literally colliding with your life right now. There's a collision that is happening at this very moment in your soul. And God is saying, I'm reminding you, I'm bringing it up. I told him to preach that this morning because I have something so great, but yet you're in so much fear, you'll never reach it until you deal with it. What is that fear for you? What is that fear for you? What are you afraid of? Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know you need Jesus. I believe in counselors. We have a phenomenal Christian counselor in our church. I believe in psychology, but I want to teach you something. The psychologist, unless they're going to use the word, can only touch your soul. And if the soul could heal itself, then we'd be a better world. But the soul can't heal itself. The Spirit of God heals the soul, receiving the engrafted word that saves the soul. James. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you need him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have and freedom. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you want to be free from fear, you want to be free from not sure where you're going to end of eternity. I know people that are afraid to die. I don't know. I'm not afraid to die. Why? I know where I'm going. If you need Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. And I know today's a little bit heavy, but that's okay. I think that it needs to be at times for us to be able to deal with these issues. You see, you can remain where you are and not deal with the issue. But the problem is when you get to the end of your life, you're going to end up dealing with what we call regret. I don't want regret in my life. Can I hear an amen? I don't want to lay on my deathbed and say, I wish, I should have, I wish I had done, I wish I had dealt with. No, 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 no. I made a decision a long time ago. I am not going to be a man of regret. I would rather make more mistakes than live a life of regret. Amen? Bow your head to me this morning. Today, if you need prayer for any fear that you have in your life, and we're going to deal with this the week after Brother Shelton is here. We're going to also deal with the demon called fear. There's an actual demonic spirit that deals with fear. We're going to help folks with that. But today, if you're being controlled by a spirit of fear or you're struggling with fear in your life and you want God to set you free, the prayer team is going to be around the front of the altar. I'm going to have Mindy still come on over to this side. If you didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want Jesus in your life. You want to be free and free indeed. Mindy's right here in the white sweater. She's going to be waiting for you. We're going to pray with you, get you a Bible. You can come right after the service. We love you. Father, I just release blessing at His Tabernacle Family Church. God, you've given me spiritual authority. You've appointed me to this position. God, I did not place myself here. You put me here. God, I thank you for the authority you have given me to stand on your behalf right here on this pulpit. I thank you for the ability and the authority you've given me to handle your word. And God, the words that I speak, Father, I thank you that they have authority in the spirit realm. God, right now I release a blessing on the body of Christ in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against fear that is holding people back. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, that this week you'll start bringing those things up in our life. God, as uncomfortable as they might be, I pray that you'll bring healing to them, that God will overcome them, that God will not be controlled by them, that God, he whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. And Lord, I declare that we'll lead someone to Jesus this week. I declare that no sickness has a right in our house. Oh, some would say, well, you know, the flu's going around. We'll let it go around somewhere else. Because I declare no sickness, no disease, no maiming, and no wounding in my household. I declare, God, prosperity. Increase, oh God, that I might be a blessing to other people. And Father, I just declare your blessing on this house. Increase, Lord, so that we'll have more influence in our community. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart. If you need prayer, the prayer team's here. If you need salvation, make your way up to Minnie. She's waiting for you right now.
Nothing but the